You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Overcoming Shortage Mentality by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Philippians 4:19, most of us can quote it, but as soon as they put it up, or if you have it in your Bible, let's read it together. Philippians 4:19. Come on, let's read. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. Well, if you really believe that, why some of y'all start crying about the election? Like your needs ain't going to be supplied anymore. The Bible does not say God will supply all your needs according to Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or the Republicans or the Democrats, amen, Libertarians? Is that a libertarian, right? Libertarians or the Communist Party or whatever, no. God's going to supply all your needs according to what? His riches and glory. Now, that is so basic, but every time you start fearing, every time you start worrying, every time thoughts and doubt come in your mind that your needs aren't going to be supplied, you got to go back and remind yourself what God said. And so I started a teaching entitled, I already started with the other sessions, with y'all tonight, Overcoming Shortage Mentality. Say this, I must overcome shortage mentality. So the subject is overcoming shortage mentality. Now, first of all, you have to understand that God created man with no shortage. Go to Genesis 2nd chapter. I'm going to move real quick. All right. Genesis 2nd chapter. Start in verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So God created a garden, okay, where everything that man needed would be there. And then he placed man in there. You all see that. God placed man in an environment where there was no need, where there was no shortage, where there was no where there was no stress, no strain, no struggle, where there was no lack. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Who made the trees grow? God made the trees grow. Man didn't have to make trees grow. And good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So he didn't have to worry about how the garden was going to be watered. God planted the garden. God created the garden. God watered the garden. Y'all see that, right? Verse 11. The name of the first is Pison, that is, which encompasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And verse 12 says, and the gold of that land is what? Is good. I want y'all to see that when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, there was gold in the land, and the gold was good. Say this with me. Say, the gold in my land is good. You got to know that. You got to believe that. You got to know that. You got to believe that. Now, I have taught y'all, going over to the book of Colossians, I have taught you that once you get saved, we go back to Eden, right? Amen? We're going reverse. The curse has been reversed. And God, once you get saved, God's purpose is to take you back to how you used to live and how things were supposed to be before man ever sinned. Lack, shortage, stress, strain, struggle, all that came as a result of sin. Amen. But once we get saved and get born again, now we come into the kingdom of God. Amen. Colossians, the first chapter. Let's pick up here at verse 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. That word meet means acceptable or suitable, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into what? The kingdom of his dear son. So when you got saved, he delivered you out of darkness. In the land of darkness, there's lack. There's insufficiency, there's sickness, there's disease, there's all these things that came about as a result of the curse. But when you got saved, he delivered you out from the power and authority of darkness, and he translated you where? Translated you where? Into the kingdom of his dear son. So verse 13, it says, to amplify, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Everybody say, I'm in the kingdom now. Amen. Now, one thing you have to know about the kingdom, there's no lack in the kingdom. There's no lack in the kingdom. There's no insufficiency in the kingdom. Amen. And so you're in the kingdom now. Now, even though this says this, we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So once we see what the word of God says, now we have to renew our mind. Or let me put this another way. Get a different mentality based upon what the word says. This is how I used to think. But once I see what the word says, this new information causes transformation. Amen. And I'm no longer conformed to this world, but I'm transformed by what? By the renewing of my mind with this new information. So if you didn't know before, now you know you're in the kingdom of God, and in the kingdom of God, there's no lack. And that got to change how you think now. See, if you only think natural, you're going to be limited to the natural. But if you recognize you've been translated out of the kingdom of God, you watch this. As I said this before, you don't just live in Columbia. You live in the kingdom of God in Columbia. You don't just live in Irmbo or Lexington or Pillion, Red Bank, wherever y'all from. Praise God. Okay. But you live in the kingdom of God in Pillion. Yeah, kingdom of God in Pillion too. Amen. You live in the kingdom of God in Blackwood. Amen. That means that even if there's lack there, there's no lack where you are. Because you're in the kingdom of God. Remember, I showed you how even though the children of Israel were in Egypt, there was darkness over Egypt, but it was light in their section of Egypt. That represents the kingdom of God right there. Goshen, amen? So once you have this new information, you have to think differently, because the scripture tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. So watch it. When you hear that, as a man thinketh, you understand the way I think, that's my mentality. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh means the systematic way that you think. Now, a couple weeks ago, some of you may have missed it, but last Monday or so, we had our quarterly mass volunteer meeting. And monthly we have a leadership meeting where all our leaders come, or once a quarter we do our mass volunteer, which all of you who do anything in the ministry, you're asked to come that night. Well, in each of those meetings, we do two things, in case you don't know. Maybe it's going to help the attendance next time, okay? We take up a debt-free offering, okay? A debt-free offering, no, that's not for the church. That's for somebody who's going to win that night. Just by coming to that meeting, okay? And so if you got any bills, you can just bring that bill to the church, and up to the amount of that offering, we pay that off on your behalf. All right? And then we give out gas cards. And so we split the offering. I think it was about $600 that night. And between two people who got $300 of debt canceled. And then we gave away four gas cards of $25 each. All right? And well there was Rashawn here? How many times did you win? He won about three times in a row. And it ain't fixed. And you could kind of feel the hate when he walk up. How he come up here again? Okay. Now, I assure you that somebody said, you know what? He look like he always win. I don't ever win anything. Nobody ever chooses my name. That's the mentality. See, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think nobody ever going to call your name, you don't ever win anything, you don't ever get selected for anything, no wonder you don't win anything. No wonder nobody ever call your name. No wonder you never get selected, because that's your mentality. And as a man thinketh, so is he. There are people who just think broke. Amen. I tell you, if it ain't one thing, boy, I just can't put. See, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Boy, I take one step forward and three steps backwards. Man, I just tell you, it looked like I just got holes in my pocket. It looked like, man, just when I think I'm making ends meet, somebody moved the ends. All right? That's a mentality. You all need to understand that. That's a mentality. And there's some people, that's how they think. On the other hand, we got some people got abundance favor mentality. Man, everywhere I go, I'm blessed. Man, you better watch it. Your money going to jump right at your pocket into mine. I got a magnet. I'm a money magnet. Everywhere I go, I'm blessed. Something good happened for me all the time. That's a mentality. So once you get in the kingdom, you got to get rid of that non-kingdom mentality. That lack mentality. That nothing works mentality. That worry mentality. You in the kingdom of God now. Look at somebody and say, I'm in the kingdom now. Now, because you're in the kingdom of God, that means you are now God's child. And because you're God's child, you're God's responsibility. Say that. Say, I'm God's child and I'm God's responsibility. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons. That sons here includes the women too. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. When are we the sons of God? Now. Are we going to be the sons of God when we get to heaven? No. Behold, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Though we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. John, the first chapter, verse 12. For as many as received him, to them gave he power, the ability, the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you are now a son of God. So this got to change your mentality. Number one, I'm in the kingdom of God. Number two, I'm a son of God. Are you following me here? Say it again. Say, I'm in the kingdom of God and I'm a son of God. All right. So now, because we're God's sons, let me tell you a little bit about our Father. He's a good Father. He's a good Father. God has never been taken to court for being a deadbeat dad. Amen. God has never been on Maury Povich. Tell me, he ain't mine. God has never said, they said, you are not the Father. He said, yeah, see what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't know who you slept with. That ain't God. God takes ownership of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God takes ownership of you. God acknowledges you as his child. So we're sons of God. He's a good Father. Psalm 103 and verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth, that word pitieth here means to take care of his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The New Living Translation of that verse says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender, compassionate to those who fear him. Now I know I say that. Again, we got to renew our minds, because some of us, maybe like me, you didn't have a good natural father. But one thing I got a revelation of what my father was supposed to do. Amen. Whether he did it or not, I realized he was supposed to do it. Come on now. Whether he took care of me or not, I knew he was supposed to do it. Amen. Whether he made sure all of us were taken care of and adequately provided for or not, I found out he's supposed to do it. And so maybe you didn't have a good father, but now you got revelation through the word or through being around other people's fathers or seeing a good father, what it, get a picture of God being 1,000 times better. Yeah. Amen. God is a good father. He will take care of his children. He's not a deadbeat dad. 1 Timothy 5:8. You hear this scripture all the time. Now, let me give you the context. 1 Timothy 5:8. Remember, I was teaching a couple weeks ago about honoring your mothers and taking care of your mother and your grandmother and aunts. And that's it. That's the context of this scripture. He doesn't even talk about, even though we refer to it as fathers providing for the children, that's not even what the scripture is talking about. Because that's a given. This is a scripture expanding the basic. It's saying that, you know, if you can't take care of your aunts and your grandmothers and all that. And then in that context, he says, if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house or his own family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The point I want you to see here is that he's not even mentioning a father taking care of his children. We don't even need to teach you about that. That's automatic. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? Paul ain't writing a scripture about that. He's getting them to understand now, just like a father takes care of children, who are his own, then perhaps maybe you may need to take care of your grandmother or your mother, requite them. Because it's clearly understood that a father takes care of his children. Are y'all getting it? I want you to get this. This is so basic. If you get that basic understanding, You understand that you don't have to worry about shortage as a child of God. Amen. My daughter, she's still being subsidized by Bank of Herbert and Marcia. Okay, so she's still being subsidized, and my bank they went through some changes in there, and they just on their digital bank it just started messing everything up. Things are automatic, set up, and I got a call a couple Fridays. Go said, "Dad, there's something going on with the bank." I said, "What you mean?" She said, "Well, the deposit that's usually there is not there." And so I went and looked. I said, "Sure enough." And so then so I said, "All right, take care." I got on my phone and I switched it out. And then on Monday it looked like it went through, and then I put it through again. So then I took it back out. You know, we got to keep the agreement here, trying to make sure you know how to budget. Okay. And so, but it so happened that I took out the wrong one anyway. So she called. She said, "Dad, I hate to keep bothering you about this money stuff, but something's wrong again. The money is not there." Okay. She understands that's the agreement. What she didn't ask me was, "Dad, did you run out of money?" She didn't ask, "Did I run out of money?" Something must be wrong, because generally speaking, what the Father got for me is always there. Come on now. If you can just get a picture of how we're supposed to be thinking about our Heavenly Father. There is enough for all of us in the kingdom of God. Look at these three people. High five, these people. Tell them enough for all of us. Tell them how. These three people, these three. Come on. There's enough for all of us. Don't be hating on me. There's enough for all of us. There's enough for all of us. Now, the term that we've come to know is El Shaddai. Some people some people say El Shaddai. I hear somebody call it El Shaddai. Okay. It's translated the Almighty God, but its literal translation means the many-breasted one. God is the many-breasted one. The picture that God's trying to give us of himself is just like you see dogs, you know, when they have a big litter, they all get up in there, and some kind of way each of them are able to get one of those breaths. Are you following me? God's saying, "I am the many-breasted one. I can take care of as many children as are in my kingdom. There's no shortage." Now watch it. If you get this understanding, you will rejoice with other people and not get mad at other people because they get blessed. See, the only reason why you would ever hate on somebody, get jealous, and some kind of, that's a shortage mentality. You have to understand somebody else getting blessed, somebody else getting a new car, somebody else getting married. Amen. Somebody else getting a new whatever, somebody else getting a promotion, that doesn't take anything away from what God has for you. He's a many-breasted one. There's enough for him to promote you and promote them. There's enough for him to increase them and increase you. But if you have a shortage mentality, come on now, which even this election tried to make us think. So you got to blame somebody if you got a shortage mentality. Come on now. You got a shorter mentality. It must be the Mexicans. Why I don't have. Don't y'all get mad at me now. It must be because the white man I don't have. It must be because the black man. It must be because the Hispanic man. It must be because the Asian. You know, the Asians, they just come over here buying up everything. See, all that shorter mentality. That's non-kingdom thinking. Y'all don't hear what I said. If you know you're in the kingdom of God, God loves you. He's going to provide for you. Black man, white man, Puerto Rican man, Asian man, come on, no man can take what God has for you. So you don't have to hate on people. You don't have to be jealous of people. There's more than enough for God to bless all of us. And the Lord gave me this analogy a couple years ago. It's like taking water out the ocean. Nah, fish gonna die because you take a cup of water out the ocean. As a matter of fact, as soon as you take it out, you're not even going to see where you took it out from. there's so much more is going to be immediately filled again. Whatever you took out, immediately there's more supply. That's how God is. Somebody else being blessed does not take away your blessing. He's the God of more than enough. The many-breasted one of unlimited supply. Say no shortage in the kingdom. Let's end with this. 2 Corinthians 8 chapter and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 8 and 15, he quotes Old Testament scripture, which we're going to go to see where it came from. 2 Corinthians 8 and 15, in the context, we read it, we read it many times when Paul writes for three chapters about receiving the offering. And then he says, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. It's saying the one who had much had enough. And the one who gathered a little had enough. In other words, there's enough for everybody. Say it again. Say there's enough, for everybody. Exodus 16 chapter. Now the context here is when God was feeding the children of Israel in the wilderness. And God said, now, he's also saying, I'm going to teach you faith. I want to teach you how to trust me. I want you to know that I'm the God of abundant supply. I want you to know that I'm the God who will take care of all of you and nobody will lack. Let's pick up here verse 16. Exodus 16, verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. This is when God gave them manna. They didn't have anything to eat. God gave them manna. The children, it says, they said, it is manna, for they wished not what it was. They didn't know what it was. So they called it, what they call it? Manna. That's what you call stuff when you don't know what it is. Say, I don't know what manna stuff this is. Really, that's what they called it. Some kind of bread, some kind, I don't know what manna of food. So they call it manna. Notice God didn't call it manna. They say it is manna, for they didn't know what it was. And Moses told them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. I want y'all to highlight verse 16. Y'all remember my old word he used to use? Circleize. Circleize verse 16. Highlight it. Gather of it every man according to his eating. Y'all see that? That gets me excited. Because everybody don't have the same attitude, the same appetite. But God said, you can get according to your appetite. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, there are times, now really, I generally don't eat like most men. And Pastor Marcia, sometimes because she know I don't like leftovers too. So sometimes she like just be trying to pile all this. I'm like, who are you making that for? I can't eat all that. That must be Tyler's plate. I can't eat all that. And then on the other hand, sometimes you a big grown bulky man and they're going to give you a little kid's plate. That ain't going to work either, right? Because we all have different eating, different appetites, okay? It said let every man gather according to his eating, an omer for every man. Look at this. According to the number of persons, take ye every man for them that are in his tents. I want you to see verse 16. God said, I'm going to give you enough for everybody in your house. Do y'all see that? According to the number of your persons. Now, I'm trying to help you here. Now, I know we live in a, we manage our money, and we budget, and we plan, and all this, okay? And, you know, I ain't preaching against birth control, but birth control wasn't in the Bible. God didn't have birth control, okay? And God said, for all the children you have, I'm going to feed them. Now, as long as you think of natural, you got plans. Oh, we can't do this. We can't have this. We can't. Well, we're going to have enough money. Can I tell y'all something? The Bible said when riches increase, so are they that eat thereof. In other words, there's always something to spend money on. Amen. You're going to have to get to a point in your life. You got to trust God. You can't plan everything. If you could plan everything and budget everything, you would never need faith.
There may be times when it seems that you just don't have enough for your financial obligations. Could it be that you do have the finances, but you may be afraid that you won't have anything left? Dr. Herbert Bailey helps you to examine your thoughts to overcome shortage mentality in this four-part series. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE. Or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Overcoming Shortage Mentality.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.